couple years ago, I had decorated with pumpkins in my house. And after the season was over, I had one of my kids go take the pumpkins out to the garbage. Directions are hard. They left them behind the garbage, okay? It was close. And it started, the pumpkin started rotting and kind of decomposing, and I kept meaning to do something about that and kept forgetting. And then winter came and snow, and it covered it up and forgot all about it. So a little while later, when the spring came, I looked over at my driveway, and that pumpkin that had been decomposing, the seeds had found its way through a crack in my driveway. And it started sprouting up a vine out of my driveway. And I saw little bulbs of pumpkins in my driveway. You guys, I was freaking out thinking, I'm going to have a pumpkin patch in my driveway. This is a miracle. I was seriously so excited. And then, you know, I was right by my driveway. So that's where bikes and cars and skateboards and pogo sticks and you name it come out of. And so a few weeks later, I look over and there's no vine. It's completely destroyed, completely squished, along with my hopes and dreams. But I thought about it for a second. What would happen if I was actually intentional about planting those seeds? What would happen if I took those pumpkin seeds and I actually was intentional about the soil that I planted it in and what kind of environment it was in? Well, everybody in here, if you've lived here for long enough, you know what happens, because we live near the home of Nakusa's Giant Pumpkin Fest, right? So a few years ago, I'm driving in central Wisconsin, and this is what's driving next to me. Go ahead and pop that picture up. That's what happens when you're intentional about how you plant your pumpkin seeds and don't just let them deteriorate and decompose in a cracked driveway. You get something amazing like that. This week, we're kicking off our series, Extravagant Generosity. It's one of our values here at CLF, one of our core values. And what we're talking about with extravagant generosity, it really takes intentionality to be generous, to live lives that are extravagantly generous. You don't just kind of happen upon generosity. You have to be intentional about it. And when we're all given a certain amount of seeds. We're all given some resources. And we can do this with it. Throw some here, throw some here. We can eat it. Consume our resources. I think that's nasty. Some of you like pumpkin seeds, but I don't know. I'm not a fan. It's an option, though. Or you can stick it in your pocket and just wait. But what good is that going to do? What if we took the resources God gave us and we held it with an open hand and we said, okay, Lord, what do you have for it? And he said, right over here. And you go, okay, I'm going to plant it right here. I'm going to intentionally plant what you've given me, and then I'm going to watch a miracle take place. I'm going to watch it dig down deep into the soil. I'm going to watch it germinate and grow and produce something bigger than I could have done on my own, than keeping it in my pocket, than eating it. I'm going to be intentional about my resources, but it takes this. It takes an open hand. So we're going to read together the value. You can look inside your program and read it along. We're gonna read it out loud together, or you can read it up on the screen. So are you ready for this? This is a group effort corporately. We are extravagantly generous. Everything we have belongs to God. Our resources, our time, our gifts, everything. We live our lives with open hands and open hearts.
All right. It's good stuff. I told you last week I'm more long-winded, so that could have been a sermon right there, but nope, I'm going to go longer. So listen, so this whole idea about generosity, extravagant generosity, and we're, you know, reading that value. The reason why that's a value of ours is that is it's not just an action that we want to act out as the church, but that's the kind of people that we want to become. So when we are talking about extravagant generosity this morning and over the next couple of weeks, keep in mind, we're not talking about just giving money away or just doing a particular task in the moment. We're talking about becoming the kinds of people that live this kind of a lifestyle, right? And to follow Jesus, we're told that in Romans chapter 10, we're told that that means that we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, meaning he's master, he's king, he's Lord over every part of our life, that our life is not our own anymore, that we're bowing the knee of our heart and we're bowing the knee of our life to him. And, you know, that's actually our first value, is that we're all in, that we serve God, he's number one, and everything else comes after that. But if you've been following Jesus for any amount of time, you know that that doesn't happen overnight. You declare him as Lord, but you know that you will consistently, as you grow and as you live life, you'll consistently find pieces of your life where you're realizing, I didn't actually surrender that to God yet. You'll realize that there are interior rooms of your life that you have not allowed God access to, that you've been just making decisions in this particular aspect of your life without clearing it with God, without asking him what his opinion is. You've just been doing your own thing. Maybe, you know, you were hurt by other people and you've been you haven't allowed God into that pain to bring healing. You know, we're constantly finding aspects of our life that we've not allowed God access to. And so this piece of our lives, generosity, is one of those facets of our lives where we need to pause. We need to go, okay, so if I'm following Jesus and he's the Lord of my life, that means he's Lord over all of my resources, that he has an opinion about how I should be handling my stuff, my money. And so that's what we're going to be talking about during this series. So here's what our typical plan is, all right? Our typical plan when it comes to finances, and I'll say in our culture, but for us as human beings, this is how we seem to have this natural bent in our flesh or in our humanity, that this is how we handle our finances. First of all, we consume it. Okay, back to the pumpkin seed illustration, that would be eating the pumpkin seeds. You know, we consume, we have our needs, we get our paycheck, we pay our bills, we take care of the things that we need to do. We consume it maybe on more than just needs. We consume our finances on what we want to, on a lot of it. And then the next step in our plan, if we get to it, is if I'm able to, then I'll save some. Okay, so I'm going to consume it first. And then if I can, you know, it'd be great to save, but I'm just not able to all the time. But if I can, then I will save. And then the last piece is if there's anything left over, if there happens to be anything left over, then I'll give it. So we consume it, and we save if we can, and then if there's anything left over, then we'll give it. That's not a recipe for a generous life. Even giving bits and pieces now and then, inconsistently, that's not what we mean when we say that God is calling us to be extravagantly generous. That means a life that's ordered around giving, a life that's ordered around not hanging on to our stuff, but holding it with an open hand. We need to focus intentionally on that. Jesus had, listen, when we talk about following Jesus and there are parts of your life that maybe aren't surrendered to him all the way, and if you're paying attention, God, through the Holy Spirit, speaking to your heart and to your mind, and also through the scripture, God will constantly, usually gently, place his finger on those aspects of our life and go, hey, this part of your life, you're not really surrendered to me in this particular area of my life. And God has lots of things to say about all the aspects of our life. But this money issue for us as human beings, the stuff issue, it's a big one. And when you talk about being surrendered to the lordship of Christ, or if there's anything else that has the potential, or is we're trying to make it the Lord and the master of our life, one of the biggest temptations we have is it's our money and it's our stuff. So there's a reason why all through Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus speaking directly to it, there are so many examples of God speaking to our issue with our stuff and how we should be handling that stuff, because it's incredibly important. It's such a temptation for us as human beings. And so really, you know, if you're a preacher and you're looking for material to teach on giving, you don't have to look real hard in Scripture because it's everywhere. There are all kinds of examples. So we're going to look at one slice of Scripture this morning, and it's a parable that Jesus told. It's a story that has a point to it, basically. Jesus told stories all the time because it's easier to pay attention to people telling stories than it is just delineating factual information for you. So he's telling a story, telling a parable in Luke chapter 12, and it starts in verse 16. And we're going to just kind of go line by line through this particular text, and we're going to chat about this morning, right? Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 16. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. All right, so let's pause here. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. This is thousands of years ago that Jesus said these words, and even back then, the rich just get richer. Okay? So this is just the way that it goes. So he says, a certain rich man, the guy's already rich, and he gets richer, that his ground produces even more of a harvest. And I think I'm going to do this every single time we talk about rich people in our church. If I'm the one that's speaking, I'm going to pause, and I'm going to go, you are going to be tempted, hearing a story about a rich person, to think about the coworker that you have that got the raise that you wish you would have gotten, and so you know what they make, and they make more than you. You're going to be tempted to think about your neighbor that has the better car than you or the better house than you. You're going to be tempted to think about, you know, the guy who's counting his gold bars in his basement and holding them for a doomsday scenario, right? That's the rich person. That's where our mind goes. We always see other people that have more than us, and then we define them as being rich. And I'm just going to pump the brakes on that and go, you are rich. If you are in this room this morning, if you live in the United States of America, you are rich. And even if you are on the bottom of the pecking order in the U.S., you are at the top of the pecking order of the rest of the world as far as resources at your disposal. That's the reality. And so when we hear Jesus talking about rich people, we don't get to, in other parts of the country, they might be able to go, yeah, this is for people in America, okay? We don't get that luxury. We have to face this text head on, all right? And I referenced this last week, no kidding, if you have, clothes that you're wearing, because believe it or not, there are people still that don't have clothes, okay? If you have clothes that you're wearing, you have a roof over your head, and you have a refrigerator with some food in it, you are ahead of 75% of the rest of the world. Just let that sink in for a moment here, okay? So, rich people's not the person next door, the person on the other side of town, the person we wish we could be. That's us, okay? So, the rich get richer. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Okay? So, he's looking at this increase that's coming his way, and he has no place to store it. What he's thinking is, okay, so I'm going to save it now so that I can consume it later. Again, he's operating on this premise that it's his to consume, okay? Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. Okay, so he already had barns because he already had enough grain to store in barns before. But now he's getting an increase, and his barns aren't big enough to store the excess grain. And so he kind of scratches his head, and he goes, I know what I'll do. I'll do what I've always done, but just with more zeros on the end of it, right? He just follows in the same path that he had always gone in. And this is where we need to, this is why we have to have this conversation. And so let me just, if you're in this room this morning, and you are a child, or you're a teenager, or you're a young adult, okay, you need to hear this. It is incredibly important for you to start putting practices in place right now to become the generous kinds of people. You don't wait until you have more money to become generous. If you're not generous when you have nothing or you have very little, you won't be generous when you have a lot. So there's this temptation that we kind of fall into, and we're like, well, you know, when you live where you go, I'm going to consume it first, and then if I can, then I'm going to save, and then I'm going to give if there's anything left over, right? If we live that way, what ends up happening is many times we go, well, because there's not enough to really give at the end when you put giving at the end, right? And so we kind of go, well, if I get more money, then I'll give, and then I would be a more generous person. And this story just shows you that's not the way that it works. If you're not generous with little, you won't be generous with much. I have quite a few friends who have done very well for themselves and moved to where they have lots and lots of money, and they just kind of laughingly say, you think that it's going to get easier when the checks have more zeros on the end of it. It's like, oh, well, it's not a big deal to write the check for this much. And they're going, no, it's just as hard or harder to write checks that are bigger than it is to put 10 bucks towards something or put 100 bucks towards something when you don't have anything. So this is why it's so important. We don't wait until we have resources. We take wherever we're at and we start going, okay, pumpkin seeds. I may not have as many seeds as I want, but how can I be intentional about the seeds that I do have, right? So that's what we're talking about this morning. So I'll say to myself, you have plenty. Do you talk to yourself ever? I'll say to myself, self, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Okay, it's kind of the American dream, right? And I'm going like this, right? Because if you know the story, you know where it's going. And if you don't know the story, you can just kind of tell probably Jesus is going to be like, hey, it's like this. And then he's like, but wham, it's not actually like that, okay? So we're moving this particular way. He's assuming that his stuff, it's all for his consumption. I'll store it up and then I'll kick back and I'll go, hey, self, you got plenty of grain. Just eat and drink and be merry. Life's really good because it's for me. And I can just hold all the seeds that are given to me and I'll put them in, I'll eat some now, I'll put some in my pocket, I'll take those out later and I'll eat those. And that's just the way that it's gonna go. Even if you think about our terms when we talk about our income, like we think about the term, we talk about consuming goods. We talk about, like, if you've paid your bills and you've paid your obligations and then the money that's left over after you've paid all of your obligations, what do we call that? We call it disposable income. It's just, those are resources we can just dispose of however we like. We can do with them whatever it is that we want, okay? And so this guy is thinking in those terms. But God said to him, you fool. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm reading scripture and God calls somebody a fool, I might have been kind of dozing off, or I might have been like, yeah, this preacher guy's talk. But then I hear God calls somebody a fool and I kind of sit up and I go, does anybody want God to call them a fool? I'm not really interested in that label being placed on me. And so I'm like, well, how do I not do the things that make me a fool in God's eyes, right? So we stop, we sit up straight, we pay attention to what's being written here. God says to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Uh-oh. You got stuff, but you don't have any time. And you went through all this planning to store it up and build bigger barns and live out the American dream in our particular context. But you don't have any time. And then God asks the guy in the parable. And he asks you and he asks me this morning this question. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? The answer, I mean, we know, it's somebody else. This guy's storing it up. Bigger's better, more. You know, if some is good, more is better. This is the way that he's living his life. And then all of a sudden God goes, you fool. Your life is going to be demanded from you tonight. And then who's going to get your stuff? Somebody else. And the answer to that, it's somebody else is going to get it, but it's not because you're being generous and you're mobilizing it for something other than yourself. It's because you're dead. And so this guy thought that his stuff was for him to consume. He thought that it was income, that it was that was disposable, but really, he was consumable. He was disposable. Ugh, that hurts. And so it goes on, which actually, if you I won't say that. We'll keep it short, all right? I just saved you 3 minutes off of your time this morning, okay? So then Jesus steps out of the parable. He's telling this story to his disciples to teach them. And then in that moment, he steps out of the parable and he looks them in the eyes, and he's actually looking down through history into our eyes. my eyes and your eyes. And he's saying to us this morning, this is how it will be with those who store up things for themselves but are not rich towards God. That we'll run this race in life, and we'll store up all the pumpkin seeds, and we'll stuff our pockets full, and we'll eat as much as we can until we can't eat anymore. But at some point, our life, we have no idea what our future is. We're told in Scripture that life is a vapor. It's a breath. You're here today, gone tomorrow. And that's pretty sobering. And this whole concept for us is to push the pause button and go, okay, yeah, we're naturally inclined as human beings, and then culturally it's reinforced to consume it, save it if we can, and then give if there happens to be anything left over. But if we're going to be extravagantly generous people, and this is what Jesus is getting at, going, hey, listen, it's going to be this way where you're going to look at it and you're going to go, what have I been doing with all of this? We're going to be called to account for what we've been given. And what have we done with it? What have we done with it? And he goes, that's the way it's going to be if you're, you know, if you just, you're not rich towards God, if you store up things for yourself. So if we're going to be in, you know, extravagantly generous people, it takes incredible intentionality for us to go, yes, my natural inclination is to consume, maybe save, and if there's anything left, to give it over. I am going to fight and do things differently in order to set myself on a different path, on a different course. So to follow Jesus means that we work intentionally to flip the script on our stuff, on our money, on our resources. And it means that we flip it to where instead of ending up, if there's anything left for us to give away, then we'll do it. We actually start with that piece. Because in God's kingdom, we talked, was it last week that we talked about God's kingdom being an upside down kingdom? You know, up is actually down is actually up, left is actually right is actually left. You know, half the time, that's why the things that we're told that Jesus speaks, they're kind of head scratchers a lot, and you have to really think about it. So in God's kingdom, generosity is more important than our own comfort. And God cares more about us becoming the kinds of people that he created us to be than he does about our own comfort. Now, I'm just going to hit pause really quick here, okay? Because anytime we talk about money, it gets quiet in the room. It's a sensitive topic, and I understand that there's a lot of baggage attached to it. And I get that. And I get that it's uncomfortable, but I just don't care, okay? Because here's the deal. That's funny that you clap for that. What kind of conditioning have you been through to do that? I don't know. Because here's the deal. I know that it gets awkward. I know that it's uncomfortable. If you think for a second that the reason why we're talking about money is because, well, you know, we got to make sure that the income, the money coming into the church needs to be at this level, and so people need to give, and it's got to be done, you're missing it. You're missing it. I couldn't care less about that. For real. I couldn't care less about that. The issue is one of the heart. And there's a reason why God, and specifically Jesus, comes back to over and over and over again this money issue. It's because we talked last week about anything that rivals God for supremacy in our heart and our lives. And I said this at the beginning of the sermon. Man, there's nothing that rivals God being in that position of supremacy in our lives more than our stuff, more than our money. And if following Jesus means making sure that all of our life is coming underneath his lordship, we've got to make sure that this piece of our life is not something that we just go, well, it's kind of awkward to talk about because he's actually saying you should give money to the church. If you have an issue giving to the church, then I would say find an organization that you can pry your fingers off of your stuff on and start giving there. And if you feel like you can't give to this church, then I would say find a church that you can give to and go there and give your resources there. This is so important for us to get, because this is not a financial issue for the church. This is a discipleship issue for who we're becoming as followers of Jesus Christ. That's the reality of it, okay? So now back into the sermon, all right? So the way Jesus says it is we need to flip the script where we actually start with what's most important, and we give. And then after that, we save, because Scripture actually does say that we're supposed to save, that there's wisdom in that. So we're going to be intentional about being wise with our resources, stewarding our resources well. So we're going to give first off the top, we're going to save, and then we're going to consume or live off of whatever's left after we've done the two most important things. It's the exact opposite of what our culture does. It's the exact opposite of what feels good for the most part, but it's the way that we're supposed to do it. And even if you read in the Old Testament, they had all kinds of laws and ways that they were supposed to give. And one of the best, one of the things that I love was, they called it the festival or the Feast of First Fruits. And it was when people would harvest their crop right there in the middle, right when they began, the first bit of food that became ripe, you were supposed to give off the top of what you had harvested from your crop before you did anything else. And so they would pause in the middle of harvest, and they would end up having this huge celebration where they would give right off the top and go, listen, I'm going to trust that the rest of the harvest is going to go fine, but right off the top, I'm going to give. I'm going to be a generous person, okay? So we're told all through Scripture that that's the way that we're supposed to do it, is give and then save and then live off of the rest of those things. And if we want to be generous people, we have to be really intentional about doing that, because it does not come naturally for us. All right, so let me talk about just a couple of obstacles to being intentionally generous, all right? The first one, this is from our parable that we just read, both of these. The first one is what we're going to call the consumption assumption. That is, if it comes to me, it's for me. This guy in the parable was operating off of, because I got these dollars, because I harvested this grain, it's for me. And that's a dangerous place to be in, as you can see from the parable. To assume that if something comes to me, that everything that comes to me is for me, my needs and my wants. Do you know that is the definition of greed? And again, when we hear that word greed, we think Wall Street tycoons, people that don't pay their employees enough, you know, whatever, because they want to just take a really exorbitant salary for themselves. And we define greed in that way. But the reality of it, greed is not determined by the amount of zeros on the end of the transaction. Let me say that again since there was a phone ringing. Greed is not defined by the amount of zeros on the end of the transaction. Do you realize that we can be poor and we can be greedy? We can be middle class and we can be greedy. We can be living in a third world country and we can be greedy. We can be at the top of the food chain and we can be greedy. That is the definition of greed. Is we assume if it comes to me, then it's for me. And generous people, this is an obstacle to generosity. Generous people don't succumb to that consumption assumption. They don't assume that just because it's coming to me, just because I'm earning this paycheck, just because I have the skill to work the job that I have, just because I have the vision for this business that I'm starting, does not mean that the money that's going to be brought in by it is mine. And that leads right into the second obstacle to generosity. It's tied right in. And that is an ownership mentality. Again, what drives the consumption assumption is it's mine and I own my stuff, and what's in my bank account is mine for me to have. And we, you know, I know that this is tough for us to get. It's probably tough in every culture, honestly, but I'll just speak for our culture. This is really hard. We know that we have worked really, really hard to get what we have. And we've paid a lot of dues. And we've sacrificed time and blood and sweat and tears. And we've gone to school to gain the education to now earn what it is that we're getting. Or we took the risk to start the company that's now providing these things. Right? Okay, like this, it's really hard for us to not look at it and just go, it's mine. It's coming to me. It's for me. I own that. But the bottom line is, if it can be taken away from you, then do we really own it? Or do we just have it for now? And we're responsible for when we have it now. We already talked about the guy in the parable. He had stuff, but then he found out he didn't have time. And the question was, then who's going to get everything that you've been amassing for yourself? So if it can be given away and that can happen to any of us, then do we really own it in the first place? And the answer is no, we're just simply managing it for a while. And the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That includes my life, and that includes every minute of my time, every gift or talent that I possess, every cent that's in my savings account, the house that I live in. It's all his. But the question is, do we realize that? Because if we don't realize it, then we'll go, yeah, consume, maybe save if I can. If there's anything left over, then I'll give. But if we realize that it's not ours, but it's actually his, then we start with that end in mind and go, okay, God, this is yours, and what do you want me to do with it? What do you want me, this pumpkin, this handful of seeds that you've given to me, where do you want me to plant it? How do you want me to be intentional with the resources that you've given to me in this season for right now? It's a question that we need to ask. And if you've ever been in that position where you've lost a loved one, and you've been a part of cleaning out their things, their home, I mean, what do you end up doing with this stuff? And especially if they're older, I mean, it's, you know, they've lived their life, and it's, you're sorting through things and you're going, well, here's the thing, here's some things that will sell, and then here's some things that we'll keep because they have sentimental value or we can use them, and here's a pile of stuff that we're going to throw away, and some stuff we're going to give away. I mean, you know, that is a sobering way to look at our life, but we need to look at our lives that way. We don't own anything. We manage temporarily. And if you're managing resources for somebody else, you better know how that somebody else wants those resources to be managed. Right? If my job is I'm being entrusted with some kind of responsibility, I should know what the person that's entrusting me with that responsibility, how they would define success, what they want that to look like. So we need to ask those questions. Generous people simply manage what God has entrusted to them. Now, I know that this feels, this is hard. It's hard for us to take. Next week, we're going to talk, you're like, next week, I'm not coming back for more of this, are you kidding me? You know, next week, we're going to talk more specific, some really practical, nitty-gritty, how do we actually determine how much we should give, where do we give, all that kind of stuff. We're going to kind of dive into some of those details, okay? So this piece on intentionality, I know that this can be kind of hard, a tough pill for us to swallow, and it can kind of feel like I'm lowering the boom on you, and we're going, look, we're just kind of getting beat upside the head by Scripture, okay? Before you go into this conversation about generosity and being extravagantly generous with this mentality that we just have to, you know, if we're not careful, we can sort of read this and just sort of go, well, I mean, guess God's in charge and he can do whatever I want and I just got to kind of go with it and it stinks and it's, you know, difficult, but, you know, what am I going to do, right? Like we just kind of, you sort of feel like, well, this is, I'm going to take my lumps. If I'm going to follow Jesus, this is what it means, right? And I want to just push back on that because that's not the posture, the mentality we should have towards giving. Here's what, there's a saying that Jesus said that we're told in Scripture, and you're probably familiar with it, but it may have become so familiar to you because it's kind of become just a proverb in the U.S. That maybe you don't even know that it was Jesus that said it. You know, you give a gift to somebody and they're really thankful, and what do they say? They go, oh, you shouldn't have, right? You know, and then we just go, well, it's more blessed to give than to receive, am I right? You know, you just kind of, you sort of spit out the platitude a little bit. Well, that's actually Scripture. Jesus actually said that. And we find that in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the Apostle Paul is speaking. And he says, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed, and if you're really spiritual, you say blessed, okay? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Remembering the words of Jesus, Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, what you got to understand here is what the Apostle Paul was, this is him speaking, recounting these words of Jesus. And he's in the city of Ephesus, a place where he had helped to launch a church, and not just one church, but a movement of churches in this city, and it was growing, and he was leaving all of these friends that he had spent all this time with them. And he's leaving them, and he knows that he's leaving, and he's actually going to get arrested, and that he's never going to see these people again. And so he's saying his farewell to them, and as he's saying his farewell to them, he's recounting to them the kind of life that he lived. This particular verse that we read is situated in a passage where he's been talking about, you saw the way that I lived around you. You saw my interactions, my posture towards you. He was talking about living in a way where he gave himself away to them. He lived a generous lifestyle to them. And so he's saying to them, you saw me live a generous life, and I want you to do the same thing. That's what he's saying here. That's why he's quoting this. And what we need to understand is, you know, we read that word blessed, and a lot of times, you know, you put your spiritual lens on, you kind of read it through that filter, okay? I mean, that word could literally just be translated happy. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It literally just means it is a happy thing. It's happier to live your life giving away, living generously, than it is to live a life receiving and consuming. It's actually a better way for us to live our lives. And it's not talking about a moment in time that, yeah, this one time I gave to something, but it's talking in context here about a lifestyle that's lived where we hold our very lives with an open hand. And all the seeds that we have are God's to do with what he wants. And when God says, mobilize that resource that I've given you in this area, or invest your time in this person's life, or whatever it is, your gifts, your talents. I mean, we're talking about money specifically here, again, because that's got the greatest grip. But all of it, to invest it in somebody else, then we do it because God calls us to do that. So another way of reading that would be that happy or happier is the person whose life is ordered around giving or generosity rather than receiving. It is a happy life when you flip the script and instead of starting with consuming and maybe ending up with a little bit of generosity, we start with generosity and work our way back after that. It is a good life to live that way. And rather than looking at it as this like, oh man, it's uncomfortable. We don't like being told what to do with our things, especially by a preacher. Okay? Like we have these issues, and instead of just going wrestling with it from that kind of a posture, we need to stop and go, hold on a second. God is actually promising us that life is more enjoyable when we'll live it this way. And maybe we ought to pause and reflect on that. And experiment and explore to see if that could be true in our lives. So your assignment for this week, because most of what we talked about is, if we're talking about intentionality and generosity, most of what we talked about is, it's a posture, it's a mindset, because we need to learn to flip that script of consume, save, give, and start with the giving. And so what we need to do is, those two obstacles to generosity that we talked about, the consumption assumption, if it comes to me, it's for me. And it's, I'm an owner, this is my stuff, and I can do with it what I want. What I want us to do is pay attention this week. That's it. I want you to, and I don't care if you've been serving Jesus for a long time, I don't care if you give boatloads of money to this church, to the missions department, to, you know, whatever, to other, all kinds of organizations. I don't care. Let's pay attention to the posture of our hearts, the attitude and the mentality that we have. Let's do some internal work this week. And so when opportunities come up for us to give, let's pay attention to what we think about that and how we look at those particular opportunities. When you replay in your mind, or you reflect on the sermon or the word of God that's been taught from this morning, pay attention to the attitude or the emotions that you feel when you start thinking about it. Let's be people that take care and we're intentional. We go, okay, God, speak to me on this level. Because all of my life, again, if to follow Jesus means that we're surrendered to him. And so, God, would you speak to me? Is there any aspect of my life where I'm assuming if it comes to me, it's for me? Is there any aspect of my life, is there any piece of my stuff or any slice of my bank account or any slice of whatever, where I'm looking at it going, that's mine. I own that and I do with it what I want, rather than saying, Lord, it's yours. What do you want me to do with it? And then let's just chew on that this week and we'll come back next week. All right? Can you do that? You pay attention to that this week, your attitudes and your mentalities? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you are so good to us. And when we pause to think about your generosity towards us, God, it is easy to think about being rich towards you when we think about how rich you have been towards us. Lord, you have poured out blessing. You've poured out your goodness and your love on our lives. And we are forever grateful. We desire in this place to be rich towards you and to be rich towards those you care most about, God. So, Lord, we pray that you would begin to speak to our hearts, that you would open up our minds, open up our ears, open us up to what it is that you want to say to us this week. Show us how you want to handle us to handle our resources that you've blessed us with. We thank you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.